I have a message that God has given me today for you, and if you'll turn with me to the book of Chronicles, the first book of Chronicles, chapter number 12, let's read one verse of Scripture in our text today, but I'll be reading other verses of Scripture, but this one specifically, I was going through the week last week, and I try to meditate upon the Lord as I go through the week, and this passage of Scripture come to my mind, and I begin to feast on it and feed on it, and the Lord just begin to cultivate some things in my heart. And perhaps you've heard this before. My wife said I've preached on it before, but I guarantee you I ain't preached on it like I'm fixing to preach on it this morning. We are in a time of decision. And it is imperative, please, please listen to me. It is imperative that you get your house set in order and you get ready to get out of here because we're fixing to leave this place. I believe that. Say, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, you ain't heard it like you've heard it today. We are in a time of decision at a crossroads, and we've got to make some wise choices. If you got a burr in your saddle, you better get it out and make it right with whoever you got the burr for. You better make sure things are right between you and God. I've often used this kind of as an analogy and kind of in a sense of humor. But I got to thinking about it the other day. If it really happened, it wouldn't be a sense of humor at all. And I like taking Brother Hewitt, for instance, please do. Taking him, for instance, I mentioned to him the other day, I was praying, talking to God, and I said, Lord, you know Brother Hewitt? And the Lord said, who? And I got to thinking about that. If that really happened, that would be absolutely devastating. If your name was mentioned and the Lord didn't know who you were, because if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, He's going to say, who are you talking about? So I urge you today. It doesn't matter to me. You know, circumstances in my life, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. It's what thus saith God. It doesn't matter how I feel. It's what thus saith God. And I trust and I pray today that we will take inventory in our hearts and our lives, and we will make sure before we leave this place today that everything is clear between us and God and between us and anybody else that happens to rub us the wrong way. Amen. So with that being said, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, begin and read verse 32 for our text this morning. I'd like to title my message this morning, What in the World Are We to Do? What in the world are we to do? 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 said, And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Listen, had understanding of the time and to know what Israel ought to do. And the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Father God, speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture did not just come along to tell us that the house of Issachar, which was one of Jacob's sons, Issachar, did not come along to just tell us that these was smart, vigilant guys. But it lets us know that they discerned the times that they was in. More than ever before, the circumstances and the times that we are in, we need to discern. Let me explain that a little bit. The history of this, the kingdom of Israel had been in a civil war. Judah and Israel had been separated and they was in a civil war. Only all except 11 of the 12 tribes had come together to unite the kingdoms of Israel and Judah to make King David over the territory of Judah and Israel and make it one nation and bring it together. You know, as you've read the history books, what the Civil War did to the United States. There was a lot of division. There was a lot of things that happened. It was a terrible time. Brothers against brothers and uncles and cousins fighting against each other. So you can imagine what was happening here in Israel. And they had finally come to a place that they wanted to unite the kingdom. And so that's why it is recorded that there was a tribe, there was a man, there was a son of Jacob named Issachar that knew the signs of the time, understood that, knew what Israel ought to do to come together and bring that kingdom together. Is anybody hearing me? It's time we come together. Not everybody's going to get it together, but it's time we come together. Saul and his dynasty had been put down. And now a new day was dawning for the nation of Israel. This one son of Jacob was significant in their spiritual and their political intellect. And they stood head and shoulders above the other tribes. The tribe explained here in verse 32, as I've already told you, is the tribe of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel had to do, listen, in this changing and revamping of a new nation. So my question is for you today, what was their secret? How did they understand these unique times? What was that made them so sure of what Israel should do in these critical times? Let me go a little bit farther. Perhaps the number one thing that we should look at is Issachar's anointing. Hello? Their anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing gives us connections with God when nothing else will. The anointing will bring us to our knees to laminate before God and cry out to Him. The anointing will give us understanding of His word and direction of what to do. They was anointed by God to know the times and understand what was going on. They were in one mind and one accord. There were 200 of the chief leaders in Issachar. 200 chief leaders. And there was 87,000 relatives that was behind them, that was supporting them and was loyal to them. Think about that for a moment. 87,000 relatives. I said that because each of the tribes' relatives followed them. The Jews was very meticulous about the tribes and about their lineage and about their bloodline staying intact and following them. There was 200 leaders and 87,000 of their relatives. I like to consider you as my relative. Hello? Under their leadership, their loyalty, their commitment to their leaders, they was anointed in the prophetic, which give them the ability to have and see God's insight. If ever before, church, we need to see and know God's insight, we need it today. Speculation needs to be thrown out the window. Hello? We need the ability to see the insight of God. On the practical side, they had the godly wisdom to discern what Israel ought to do. They was anointed as God's prophets, knowing and understanding the times. They had the practical insight. Their minds was clear. The Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary is the,
our adversary, the devil, comes like a roaring lion. So we must be diligent. We must be vigilant. We must be aware. We must be alert to know the signs of the time. We cannot have our minds cluttered with all the things of the world and expect to hear from God. They not only had the anointing of the prophetic landscape, but they had the practical side of the landscape that was around about them, of two countries coming together, knowing what they ought to do to bring forth a nation that God had designated. Daniel put it like this in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." That there's a relationship that has to follow that. Actually, there's a relationship that has to lead that. Are you with me? There's a relationship that has to lead, precede that. If you're going to have the wisdom that God gives to the wise and knowledge to give to those that understand, there has to be a relationship that develops with insight. Sister Diane and I have lived together. Actually, we've been married for not just lived together. We've been married for so long. We got to where we think alike. Yeah, it is scary. My point is that we're not scary, but my point is when you're familiar enough with each other, you know what each other's thinking. That's the kind of relationship we got to have with Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm dead serious. I seriously doubt if we do not have that kind of a relationship, you're not going to hear the trumpet sound. Because that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to quicken you. And if we don't have that kind of relationship, if we don't have that kind of familiarity with Jesus, I'm wondering if there's going to be any connection when the trumpet sounds. Verse 22 said, "He revealeth the deep secret things." Listen. Daniel chapter 2 is exactly what the church needs today. And I'm going to explain some things here in just a little bit. And I don't mean to... A lot of this stuff going on in our world today is my opinion. And I'm welcome to that. And I heard someone say yesterday, Brother Ronnie, that everybody's bucket's got a bottom and they all have to sit on their own. And I understand, but when you begin to see the circumstances of our world today, there is a plot going on to destroy from within. And if ever before we need verse 22 revealed to us, we need it now. "For God revealeth the deep and secret things. He knows that which is in darkness, and He is the light because it dwells in Him." Daniel said, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father, who has given me wisdom and might, has made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." If ever before we need to know the matter of our world and our society and our culture, we need it now. We need to spend time with God more desperately than ever before. We've got to spend time with God. In Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they have rejected it." When in the world have you ever seen a time where people just reject any kind of wisdom or knowledge or sound doctrine? Let's just throw it out the window. Let's just forget about it. He said in this, in Hosea, he said that's the reason that things are in the shape they're in, and the reason that I will not accept you as a child, because you have not accepted me as father, and you have not accepted the wisdom and the knowledge that I have for you. Hey, we have hip-hop skipped through this thing so long that it's just become almost a fairy tale to us. But I'm here to tell you, this thing is serious. It's wrapping up, winding up, and I'm getting ready to go up. So where are you at? So what in the world? What in the world was the secret to the tribe of Issachar that knew their unique times and what it was that Israel ought to do? Can I tell you, the tribe of Issachar had no crystal ball. They had no crystal ball. But they were led by the Holy Spirit of God. And it is that same Holy Ghost, that same Holy Spirit. I love the word Holy Ghost because it makes it more personable. Not that the Holy Spirit is not, but it's that third person in the Godhead. Come on, somebody preach with me. Amen. That Holy Ghost that will show us the way if we'll simply listen. Because He has promised that He will teach us all things. He will teach us all things. How desperate we need Issachar's insight and understanding of our times which we live in today. But rest assured, it will not come your way accidentally. There has to be a purpose in your heart and in your life to have a relationship, to understand and know the times of this culture that we're living in. We hear a lot about culture nowadays, right? A lot about culture. And our culture today is a whole lot different was when we graduated high school, when we done this, when we done that. A lot of things are, the culture's totally different. So we need to understand our culture. We need to understand. We need to have the wisdom not only to understand, but to know what to do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you receive of Him abideth in you. God has anointed you. And ye need not that any man teach you. Now, that don't misunderstand that any man teach you. We need to learn from each other. We need to learn from the Word of God. We need to know what the God, Word of God says. But what He is saying is we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, touch us, and teach us. But as that same anointing, teaching of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Secret, we've got to abide in Him. Church, you must understand that these men of Issachar were in no sense of the word couch potatoes. They wasn't pew warmers. They were physically and mentally fit for the times that they was living in. These guys went out to war. They started at the minimum age of 20 years of age and up. And they went out to war. I explained to you the other day, the spiritual sense of war that we're living in is like the physical sense that Israel was against the Philistines. We are in a warfare today. And we need to understand and know the times. They were mighty men of war. In Genesis chapter 49, it describes them as like a donkey that has set down between two burdens and two loads. It's not that they was lazy and could not pick up the loads, but they was getting down where the load could be put on them and they could carry that load because they understood the time. In Genesis, He's not talking about a lazy tribe. He's talking about a tribe that is strong, that is ready to take the burden on, that is ready to carry it, that is ready to go underneath that load. I'm here to tell you today, church, we need some men and women of God that's ready to get under the load and say, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to take courage. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to get the understanding because I know that God has a plan for me. If I might add, to meet the qualifications of these men of Issachar in today's culture, we need to be spiritually fit and mentally competent. Hello?
Yes.
Well, that's a strong statement in our society today, isn't it? In our culture today, as it was with the tribe of Issachar, church, we must be spiritually, physically fit and mentally competent. Being aware of our culture and our movement that's going on to allow us to have the same anointing and understanding, knowing what to do as the tribe of Issachar. I believe with all my heart, and this is my opinion, you can take it or leave it, but I suggest that you pray about it. I believe with all my heart that the church will be gone at the tribulation. Before the Antichrist is revealed, the church of the living God will be gone. I also feel like that man is on stage right now. He just not has been revealed. I said, I feel like he is on stage right now and fixing to be revealed. And if that is the case and what I'm telling you is true, I'm here to tell you that the rapture, the trumpet, is fixing to sound. But I also can tell you with everything that is within me, if the Lord tarries and is tarrying before the Antichrist can be revealed, we're going to face some issues we've never faced before. We're going to experience some hardships that we've never faced before. Don't think it's strange. There's people in foreign countries that's been bombarded with torture and torment for years. And we think we're going to get by without it. I'm here to tell you, your relationship with God's what's going to get you through. Said your relationship with God, you understanding the times, you understanding the culture, that's what's going to get you through. When there's no bread, no milk on the grocery shelves, and you can't find a Jersey cow running loose, you're going to get desperate. Did you hear me? Said when there's no bread and no milk on the shelves and you can't find a Jersey cow running loose, you're going to get desperate. Not me, Pastor. God will take care of you. I agree with that. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a relationship with Him to make it through. We have to know and be aware of the culture, the movement in which we are living in today. And we must, with everything that is within us, obtain the same anointing and understanding, because there is some things only revealed by God that we're going to know what we ought to do. I mentioned this a while ago, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I'm here to tell you, if you are doing the first two things, you don't have to worry about him. Did you hear me? If you're sober, you're vigilant, you're listening to God, you don't have to worry about the adversary. Our strength, our understanding does not come out of a book from man's intelligence. But our source is through the insight of the Holy Ghost. Psalms chapter 20, verse number 7, David said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. He is our refuge and our strength. Church, we see an overwhelming spirit in our world today. There's an overwhelming spirit in our world today. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you are dealing with it as I speak. And that overwhelming spirit in our world today is doing its best to inbreed fear in your heart. To control you. And to bring you to a place, listen, to where you feel like your security is more important than your freedom. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. But this pandemic in our world today is being initiated by fear. And can I tell you, it is intentional. I am terribly afraid that the state of the church is in a spirit of delusion. We have been fed false information that has led us to mistakes and misjudgments. We are in a state of delusion. The word delusion itself is defined as a belief or altered reality that is persistently held despite the evidence and the argument to the contrary. Actually, delusionment is generally referred to as a mental disorder. God help us. In our society, in our world today, the church does not need to be in mental disorder or mental disarray. Y'all are awful quiet this morning, so I know you're listening. With that being said, we are not discerning what the Spirit is saying to us, but we are obviously not paying attention to even those things that are going on around about us. I mentioned a while ago, our comfort is more important than our freedom. We have been desensitized. We have been desensitized. We have been lied to. And I believe with all my heart that that spirit of fear and delusionment has been turned loose in our society to bring us to a place that we struggle and have a hard time even hearing from God. I understand a lot of things I'm saying and what I believe is controversial in our world today, and perhaps even in our church world. And maybe some of you are sitting here right now thinking that he has gone off of the far end and he has went crazy. Well, if that be the case, when things go crazy in the world, be sure and call me. Okay? Because I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Signs are too obvious. But we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention. And all this stuff, I mean, we've got stuff, junk going on all over in our world today. And if we're not careful, we can't hear from God. We don't have a clue what God is saying because we're so filled with all this other stuff, the news and the Facebook and all the other kinds of media that's given us all this kind of information that is nothing more of out of the pits of hell. There's some good stuff, but I don't know about you. I'm not going to wade through the barnyard to find a corner just because it's in there. We struggle to hear from God. And we wonder why we don't know what we're supposed to do. Next few minutes, I want to share with you some things. Some of you may have already heard these. But I'm here to tell you there's some things wrapping up speedily and quickly to expedite the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of the things I just talked about, we need to know what's going on. We've got our head buried in the sand. But we need to know what's going on. Not to bring fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But to help us to look up because our redemption draweth nigh. Huh. So in the next few minutes, I want to share with you some things that we need to pay attention to, just as the tribe of Issachar, who understood the times and they knew what to do. We too must understand that in our position to hear from God and what He is saying through His Word, we have to have our knees to the floor and our hearts and our eyes toward heaven. Amen. So that we might be keenly aware. Somebody say keenly. Amen. Keenly aware of what we should do in our culture. Paul was talking to the Corinthian church and he put it like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's when I preach. And if you can't grasp what I'm preaching, and if you can't grasp the Word of God and apply it to your life, that's why it seems so stupid and foolish. It's because we're trying to discern it through the natural man. Was that too strong? We try to discern it through the natural man. I'm not telling you I've got all the answers. I'm telling you this book has all the answers. I promise you this book has all the answers. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can we know them, because they have to be spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet he himself judgeth of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have to walk in the mind of Christ. We have to live in the mind of Christ. We need to sleep in the mind of Christ and do everything in our power to have that relationship with Him. Jesus consistently described or criticized the Pharisees and the other religious leaders and even His disciples at times for failing to discern the times, for they did not recognize Him as the Messiah. That's why they crucified Him. He even told them in Matthew chapter 16 verse 3, you know how to interpret the sky. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors take delight. How many's ever heard that? And he told them. That's not new. That's not a new deal. He told them that. You know how to discern the sky, but you can't discern the things of God. And failing to discern the times can be disastrous, not only for them, but for us. Yet correctly discerning the times can lead to influence and freedom. Listen to me carefully, church. What we think and feel like things, when we look around about us, we think and we feel that things are falling apart. How many has ever said that to somebody? Man, things are just falling apart. Come on, be honest with me. How many said that? Man, things are just falling apart. Can I tell you, on the contrary, things are falling together. Things are falling together. So the devil tells you things are falling apart. They may be, but they're falling together. Amen. Because these things must come to pass. Yes. These things have to happen. So while the world thinks it's falling apart, we know things are falling in place. All these things that are associated with the craziness of our times is no coincidence, church. Listen to me. There are intentional alignments that are ushering in the Antichrist even as I speak. And knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit is working and aligning the way for His introduction, I want to give you a few things that you need to be keenly aware of and you need to be watching for right now. In this time, in this generation, in this culture that we're living in. Ephesians 1 and 17. I'm getting there, okay? In Ephesians 1 and 17. I haven't got to preach since last Sunday morning, so bear with me. My back's feeling better than ever. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding to fear the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither repute prove after the hearing of his ears, but it's after the reference of God. He is referencing this in Isaiah to King David. King David was the king of the children of Israel, and Issachar was one of the tribes that had the insight. Therefore, church, we must receive the insight of Issachar and his anointing to know the signs that we're living in. Do we have God's Spirit inside of us to quicken us? Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Are we perceiving the times that we're living in, or are we just casually sleeping and catnapping? So with that being said, real quickly, I'm going to run over 10 things real quickly. I heard that. Somebody said, 10 things. Real quickly. You need to know this. You need to know this. Before you walk out these doors, you need to know this. And I'll do my best to hurry. We need to understand our culture and where we are today as things are lining up for the rapture of the church. How many wants to be raptured out of here? I'm sick and tired of this world. I'm ready to go home. Things are lining up for the rapture church and for the Antichrist to be revealed. Here's some signs that are very apparent that you need to be watching and looking at real closely. Number one, the decline of America. Have you ever seen such a decline in America? The New World Order is taking shape in America. And America has come to a place, we used to be recognized as the world leader. But we have come to a place that we are a mockery and a joke to the world. Would that not go well at Washington, D.C.? We have come to a place that we are no longer world leaders. And the perfect example, whether they want to recognize it or believe it or not, is the catastrophe that happened in Afghanistan and the Christians and the Americans that have been left unnoticed and don't care. Now, I'm going to say something here in just a little bit more about Afghanistan, that you'll understand that this first one even more so. Okay? Number two, the rush for globalism. We see it called, and you hear the words called, even now, of the Great Reset, which is nothing more than the tables being set to usher in communism and socialism into our lives. Did you know that there's a motto that they've already come up with for 2030, if we last that long? And that motto is this: you own nothing, you have nothing, and you're happy. That's the motto. Their theory is that they want you to have that mentality, that you are happier than you've ever been before under this new global government. Number three, governmental outreach. I've touched somewhat on this already, but the fear-based curriculum and criteria of our society that through this pandemic has created a crisis. Global warming was supposed to create this kind of crisis. Mm-hmm. That's right. But we didn't fall for that. Amen. So now the pandemic has created a crisis in fear and has caused a pandemic. And they have created a new religion based on fear, with the idea that if you'll trust the government, they'll take care of you. Number four, creation is groaning. The Bible talks about the birth pains of creation itself in the last days. And while we see extreme weather conditions as they intensify all over the world, it has not been created by man like they want you. Well, it's man's problem that we're having all this global warming and all this stuff. It ain't man's fault. The Bible tells us many times that God controls the weather. All through the Bible, it proclaims that God is in control. So again, what seems to be out of control, you rest assured that God is in control. Number five, lawlessness, there is a heightened raise in the spirit of the Antichrist, which has led to an influx of lawlessness in our major cities, where just about wherever there is an influx of lawlessness. You can rest assured that the new left agenda is more dangerous than radical Islam. Did you hear me? And I'll explain some more of that here in just a minute. You can rest assured that the left's new agenda is more dangerous than radical Islam itself. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold." Number 6. You ready for this one? You ready for this one? This one needs a good hearty yes, I'm ready. We are in a Roman chapter 1 mentality. We are experiencing a rise in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, it is a cultural decline of illusion and reprobates. God said in verses 27 and through 29, "I will give them over to a reprobate mind." Our kids are being taught that there are over 58 gender options. And the BBC has films out teaching our kids that there is over 100 gender options. From transgender to homosexuality to perversion of child abuse, drag queens have their own TV show now. What in the world is going on? It has permeated our airwaves, and our social media has become a commonplace. More than ever before, you better find out what your kids are watching. You better take control. We are exactly in a Romans chapter 1 mentality. Number 7. Technology and artificial intelligence, known as AI. This blew me away as I've done some research on this. Hey, how many's ever heard of the giant that's being permeated right now? If you ain't, you need to look it up. It will absolutely freak you out. But that's exactly where we are. A robot that can take on the image of whoever it wants to, whenever it wants to, and has already exposed itself to different parts of the world. If that is not a setup for the Antichrist, I don't know what is. This stuff gets me excited. You know why? Because I got my ear tuned to the sky. I got my eyes looking up. I'm not scared about this stuff. I'm looking up. Man, the more this stuff happens, the closer I am getting out of here, Brother Steve. I read the other day a short article that they actually have on the market now a fully functional robot. I don't know about you, but that sounds so perverted to me that it's sickening. With the mentality of Noah's days, with something like that, we are at a point that we are monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not enough for you. Amazon owns Whole Foods. And in the Northeast, they are now experimenting in some of their Whole Foods stores. They're experimenting with a computer that if you give them your credit card number and information, all you got to do is wave your hand over this computer and it'll tell them all about you and everything they know, and you can buy your groceries. So convenient. Make no mistake about it, church. When the Bible talks about things happening quickly, they're happening quickly. They're happening quickly. Number 8. I'm almost through. All I like is finishing. Okay? Please stay with me. This is information that you need to know. The Bible also speaks about in the hour that we're living in, wolves among the flock. And how sad it is that through this pandemic, a lot of folks, thank God there's still some Holy Ghost believing churches that trust in God, and they ain't going to change regardless. But there's a lot of churches through this pandemic, and a lot of folks went back to the church, and their pastors have went totally, completely to the woke mentality. W-O-K-E, if you're not familiar with that, let me know. The woke mentality, which is nothing more than critical race theory, where social justice is more important than salvation itself. And the skin color is the focus that really matters. Can I tell you, when God looks at you, He doesn't look at red, yellow, black, and white. He looks at black and white in the soul. In the heart of man. I'm telling you, our world is crazy and out of control. But these things must be. These things must be for Him to line things up. There is a so-called new apostolic reformation going on that says your experience is more important than the Bible. Where they claim that heaven is coming down to earth and there is no rapture. And the prophets and the apostles are more important. Their word is more important because they have a new revelation, and their signs and wonders are more important than the doctrine of the Bible itself. And the guy that's leading this is from Redding, California, and his name is Bill Johnson, just so you'll know. And he's from Bethel Church in Redding, California. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. And He's telling us, encouraging us, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Number 9, we are faced with an influx of the hatred of Christians and Jews and all conservatives. You can rest assured. Christians, Jews, conservatives. If you send your kids to Christian schools, you're being noticed. If you observe religious holidays, you're being noticed. If you oppose the COVID measures and mandates, you're being watched. If you view the last presidential election as a fraud, you're being watched. Believe it or not, but Christian evangelicals are being viewed from the office, from the president, from actors, to journalists, as American terrorists, even equated with the Taliban. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own. But yet, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I'm almost through. But I got something right here that I'm going to set on my bucket. And I'm going to declare to you that you need to pay attention. We are being invaded. By a spirit of the Antichrist that is out to destroy, especially the younger generation. Listen to me. Please listen to me carefully. I mentioned a while ago, you need to monitor closely what your kids are watching in the social media, and what they are involved in, what they're associated with in every aspect. Listen, please don't take me lightly on this. Yesterday morning, I'd been studying and reading on this, and I happened to walk by, the news was on, and they had a special segment on this as I walked by. It's a social media called TikTok. Number one, I can't figure out why in the world parents would let their kids be involved in something that was hatched out of China. Yes, yes, it was created and hatched out of China. Number two, to my understanding, they have an age limit, but it means nothing. And our kids are being exposed to the most ungodly and unimaginable things on TikTok, from pornography to even the depths of consoling their emotions, like depression or suicide. They'll console them, even to the point, well, if that's the way you feel. And this absolutely infuriated me. On TikTok, anti-Semitism has risen 912% and is all through it. You can rest assured, if there's hatred for the Jews, there's hatred for every evangelical and conservative on this planet. Listen, church, listen. This is why we need each other more than ever before. This is why we need personal fellowship more than ever before. He told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the manner that some is. And they've tried to depress that. They've tried to put fear in that. But I'm here to tell you, personal relationship and fellowship is more important today than ever before. Yes, you can do social media and hear the preaching on social media, but it will not substitute for your personal fellowship with one another of those of faith believe. One last thing. This is what I want to really help you understand. Remember, I told you that America has been brought to where we have no more. We're not even considered as a world power leader. And I mentioned to you about Afghanistan and what we did to our people over there. The Middle East is in such, it always has been, instability. And the fall of Afghanistan and our troops being out has left the door wide open for Gog and Magog to come out of the north to invade Israel. Hear me. Ezekiel 38:39 more. If America was still in Afghanistan, the armies of the north would not have a path through the country. They would still be suppressed. Are you ready? They would not have access to Israel. But now, because we have left that wide open, and we've become a laughingstock of the world, not only that, we left $85 billion of military, the finest military equipment in the world. We left it in Afghanistan, the most sophisticated weaponry that has left Israel vulnerable. Of course, we know they can do all they want to, but God's got a dome shield over Israel. But even that, one of the earlier ambassadors of Israel made a statement the other day that Israel must rely on itself. And if you can't yet believe the absurdity of this world, the stance that the Arabs place on two genders, and by the way, that's all there is. Okay? It doesn't matter. I love everybody. God loves everybody. But it does not change. There's only two genders. That does not change. And because of the way the Arabs take a stand on male and female, the U.S. Embassy in Kabul the other day in Afghanistan, which is the capital of Afghanistan, Kabul, was flying the rainbow flag. You talk about craziness. We are in an absurd world. And the death march to fulfill its destiny is at a breakneck speed. But I want to tell you again, what seems to be coming apart is coming together. Psalms 37, 1 through 3. Chris, y'all go ahead and come to the piano, please, you and Cammie. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, nor be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for thou shalt soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good, and ye shall dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Proverbs 10, 29. The way of the Lord is to strengthen to the upright, but the destruction shall be the workers of iniquity. Proverbs 14, 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Hey, this is a good place for you to start shouting. God's got your back. Philippians 4:9, I'm closing. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's start our journey today, right now, in having that anointing of Issachar in our lives. Would you stand with me? Let us start our journey today to seek God with everything that is within us to obtain that anointing of Issachar. Let's bow our eyes closed for just a moment. If there's one in this place today and you're not ready to meet God, would you lift up your hand? Pastor, I don't know where I stand with God. Would you lift your hand? Seen any hands raised? How many of you bought with the blood of Jesus Christ? Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'd say, Pastor, I've got to have that anointing of Issachar. Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. Teach me, Lord, how to obtain the anointing of Issachar. God bless these hands. Go ahead. Bring your hands up to God right now. Not just telling me. You're telling God. God, I need this anointing of Issachar. Lord, I need to know the times that we're living in. And more important, I need to know what to do, God. I need to know what to do. Your spirit and your anointing is anointing. Help me, God, to know what to do.